Starry Goal divides its time between various activities. One of them involves a character who can divide time. One of the tracks composed by Murray Gold for Doctor Who, where he's been musical director since 2005. He's also scored many other TV shows and movies, including Vanity Fair and Queer as Folk, and writes radio plays, in the latest of which he gets the former Doctor Who singing.
And you wake up from a dream and to strangers are standing there, and they tell you what you've done, and you leap up and you run, but the strangers.
David Tennant is Franz Kafka in Murray Gold's Kafka the Musical, in which in a show business version of the Kafka stories about men who wake up as cockroaches or find themselves on trial for an unnamed crime, the writer finds that he's been cast in a musical about his own life by a producer he's never met. Apart from working on Doctor Who, Murray Gold also wrote the score for David Tennant's TV drama Single Father. So I wondered if he'd slipped him a script of the radio play during those other projects.
No, I didn't use any of my connections at all. In fact, I didn't even have David in mind for the role. Like, obviously I should have done, because I wanted someone who sounded tall, thin, clever, but warm. But I actually didn't dare to think he'd take a job on a radio drama, actually.
And was it, there's a tension for the listener as to whether he's going to have to sing. There may have been a tension for him as an actor. Did that come up?
I don't remember actually asking if he would sing, or if anybody actually did. I mean, it's a fairly intimate environment, so we don't have to have a closed set for radio. We just carry on as normal. And suddenly there was David Tennant singing.
It's also a slightly teasing title, because we know of your musical background, although you also have a separate reputation as a playwright. And so some people will expect a full-blown musical, but in fact, it's very tantalisingly and to me cleverly done that Kafka finds himself trapped in a Kafkaesque way in this musical, and we get hints of the musical rather than the whole thing.
Right. I mean, there were all kinds of reasons why that happened. One of them is that we simply, on a radio drama budget, cannot launch a brand new musical. And then another idea was that, you know, I'd always wanted to do a musical with no music in it. So I think we ended up sort of falling somewhere between the idea of a full-blown and a musical with no music at all.
And that, the central idea, which is very funny and very clever, but people in the past, they've had Kafka waking up to find he's a cockroach, and more direct analogies with his own work. But you were looking for something, a Kafka-esque situation in which he could find himself, and it doesn't go much worse than discovering you're in a musical that you don't know has even been written.
You make it sound funny. I read Kafka as being very funny, and I've always been interested in Kafka the man, because people tend to remember Kafka or think of him as being just a sort of screwed up neurotic. And, you know, certainly that was an aspect of his character. But I also wanted to bring in biographical details, like clearly he had a difficult relationship with his father. And so his father essentially bullies him into being more commercial about his work, which seemed to be something that would work as a structure for the play, as well as strike a chord in his life.
And when you write your plays, do you feel a great sense of freedom and power, that you are in control? Whereas, because a lot of your life is spent writing what is sometimes dismissively called incidental music, where you are supplementary to what other people are doing often. So do you feel that great joy at it being all yours?
Well, it is, of course, yeah, a great joy. But having woken up in my younger days, having sort of put on a play, having experienced a dreadful cold Tuesday morning and reading all of the press and going through the reviews, sometimes you think, thank God I don't do this anymore. But in a more general way, I feel that when I'm composing for other dramatists and writers, that my insight from having done the thing myself is at least half of my job.
And because of your twin life, being a writer yourself as well, do you ever get grumpy while composing and think, this script is complete rubbish, I could have done better myself?
Yes. I'm not going to give you any examples. Actually, my first break was doing a television soap opera. It was called Family Affairs. It was on Channel 5, and I lived with my brother. We both had these little bells, and when we watched the show, whenever there was a dreadful line, we didn't say anything, we just tapped the bell. And I still do that mentally. I tend not to go back and tell the author.
Have you ever thought about actually putting in the little bell sound every time there's a terrible sound, a terrible line?
Well, I feel that's like something that the audience do mentally anyway.
Doctor Who, where the scripts are, I think we can agree, of a very high quality at the moment, but you had that inheritance there, and actually you took it on directly, because you rearranged the original famous theme tune, the Wrong Ranger. Did that feel a responsibility?
Perhaps I didn't have the correct amount of dread and responsibility. I think I was reminded that I should have had afterwards. Having now changed my own version a couple of times, it kind of makes me smile when I get the same hardliners who come back and say, what have you done to the 2005 version of the Doctor Who theme? It's sacrilege that it's now got this. I'm like, oh, that's sweet.
And you've just done the incidental music for Rocket to the Moon, Clifford Odets revival at the National. Now, that's an interesting area, because it's absolutely accepted that we have music on the soundtracks of movies and TV series, but there are many, many stage plays that don't have any at all. So that's a different negotiation, is what you're going to do there.
It's a really tough thing. I mean, doing a play, I must have written an hour of music for 2 minutes, but the only way I can do it is by writing a huge amount of music, getting to my point, and then cutting it all down. But it's a very resonant sort of play to write music for, because it's set in 1938 on a sunny day in New York City, and so the musical richness of that makes it a great challenge.
It just struck me, interviewing you today, that you are someone involved with the music business who happens to live in New York. So I do have to ask you, Spider-Man the musical, currently continuing its epic months of previews before officially opening, have you snuck in to see it?
I not only snuck in, I paid incredibly expensive ticket prices to see what I thought would be the first week of the run. Turned out to be the very beginning of an enormous run of previews. It was a difficult show to watch. It was as bad as the reviewers said it would be, and the most interesting part of the night for me was trying to decide what to put in the part of the feedback form which said which was your least favourite song.
And so you had many candidates?
Right up until the grand finale, which was my eventual winner.
Murray Gold, Kafka the Musical, is on Radio 3 at 8 p.m. on Sunday, April the 24th. Rocket to the Moon is at the National Theatre in London until June the 21st. Tomorrow, with guests including Ryan